This episode of LMPF is brought to you by A Modern Profession. Visit amodernprofession.com for more amazing San Diego podcasts, and also visit all of our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at LMPF Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Life Moves Pretty Fast, or you can email us the old-fashioned way at lmpfpodcast@gmail.com. We're tired of saying it. If you can't find us now, it's on you. Now buckle up, kids. It's time for another episode of Life Moves Pretty Fast.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
All right, so you're going to have to pull it closer.
I burped in my mouth and then it didn't come out my nose and then it came out really harsh.
It's a good thing. Were
you recording on that?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
We're gonna listen. I think that's a good kickoff right there. What do you think, buddy?
I think we might as well.
We might as well
just roll in with it. How you doing, Beach?
Fantastic, bud.
Hi, guys. Missed you.
Right. Yeah, missed you too.
Welcome back, Marie.
Yeah, welcome too. Life moves pretty fast. I am BJ McGevely.
Mike Bissett.
Once again, for Story of the Trio, San Diego, California. We're kicking off, second week of December?
Correct.
Coming up on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Very excited about it.
Did you recognize the burp? That voice behind the burp? Because I did.
I did. Yeah.
Oh, man.
The burp of an angel.
Yeah.
It's not like you've heard me burp that many times before.
Not that many, but...
Well, enough to be like, oh, that's Marina.
And in a perfect suiting episode, we're going to talk about her being a classy lady,
yeah,
known to all throughout the world. So we'll start it with a nose burp. Ladies and gentlemen, coming back again for the second time, Marina and Sarah.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, thank you for coming back.
Appreciate it. Taking time out of your busy, Monday night?
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is starting off like an episode of Drunk History.
That'd oh, we can awesome. We can go right down that road.
let's do it.
We had a whole layout, but if you want to go down that road, I'm sure.
No. It'll take a while.
I'm
Tell
sure
us
we
about
have
the Constitution.
Many. Yeah, to the other guys who don't recognize her voice, she is Marina and Sarah. She was on our show, I'm looking it up right this second, episode 12.
Yes.
Go back and take a listen, mm-hmm. which was on March 25th. Oh, that was my birthday.
It was on my birthday,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's back again. We talking about... You know, and it's funny, 2 weeks ago, or actually, no, it wasn't 2 weeks. Well, it went out 2 weeks ago. We skipped a week.
Right.
Because we're lazy.
We've been very busy.
We haven't.
Let's go. Well, one of us has been very busy.
We always said we wouldn't lie to our listeners. our last guest, we gave her a little bit of a talk. We're going to give you a little bit of a talk. And how Mike and I are a little disappointed that most of the things that happen after people come on our podcast, that they break on our podcast, come true. For example, Audrey Zelinsky came on the podcast and was talking to us about how she was pretty much medically sterile, could never have kids, and she wanted kids. And now she, in 2 months, she's going to have twin baby girls.
Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So, going back to episode 12, you did break something.
I did.
Breaking news on Life Moves Pretty Fast.
I did.
What did you break?
You guys were the first people I told publicly, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. that I was going to try out for Scuba Queen USA.
Right. And what happened, I think 2 months after that?
Yeah. So at that point, I was still deciding whether or not I even wanted to do it. And then 2 months later, they contacted me and said that they chose me for to be the representative that year. So, gosh, was it? That was really back in March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since then, I... was selected as Scuba Queen USA, and I had spent the past few months representing, going to scuba shows and scuba diving as much as I can. And then I got to go represent the USA in the Miss Scuba International competition in Malaysia just this past month.
Malaysia, California?
Malaysia, yes. Malaysia,
is that,
Malaysia.
Is that near?
It's right next to Barstow, right, yeah. By Zizek's.
It's kind of it's kind of deserty.
Deserty, yeah.
Man-made lakes out there.
It's quite the oasis. Right.
By the Salton Sea.
Yeah, no, we're going to...
No, Malaysia.
Yeah, like actual Malaysia, like rainforest Malaysia. Oof. Well, kind of. We'll talk about that.
A lot of bugs.
Yeah, we're gonna cliffhanger it because yeah, Mike and I just had...
tease.
Yeah, this little teaser. They're just going to fast forward through all the shit that you and I talk about right now.
15 seconds at a time, right. Just hitting that button over and over and over again.
Get back to Marina.
When does the girl talk?
Wait, didn't she take her clothes off last time? What's going on?
That's right.
Yeah, that was it. That's true.
How could I forget?
I forgot about that.
Too bad it's a radio show.
Right? Not for us.
Nope. My pants are off now.
So,
oh, my God.
Glass table. Here we go. All right. So, yeah, no, you and I, we were talking a little bit before Marina got here about our incredible weekends.
We've had good weekends.
Great weekends, man.
Remember, we've been busy.
Wait. We all work at theme parks. We don't have weekends.
I took weekends.
Oh, that's nice.
I took a weekend. It was a very, important weekend.
Well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was an important weekend for me. It was my mom's birthday / retirement party. Cool. So we did a big surprise party for her. It was single handedly, I would say, and I talked about this with my brothers and my sister. Another nose burp. Is that what we got going on over there, in Sarah?
Nope.
I'm trying to tell a nice story about my family and my mother.
She's over here just belching through her nose.
There she is.
You good? You good? Okay. For those of you not watching us in HD right now on the internet, Marina is struggling a lot.
Nothing's happening.
It's a struggle. That's what happens when you drink Bud Light.
I'm choking back tears. It was a beautiful story.
Okay. I didn't even say anything yet. All right, so...
retirement.
Yes, retirement. Yes, I'm very proud of my mother. She, in a few short, I guess now, maybe, I think she only has like 10 days left, she will be retired. Couldn't happen to a nicer lady. But we had a huge surprise party for her, so we disguised it as like a birthday party. And so we just told her like, oh yeah, come out to like Elsinore and we will, you know, we're going to take you out to a nice restaurant, blah, blah, blah. So she got out of her car and all the kids ran up and was like, oh, happy birthday, Nana. And then my brother, who lives in Oregon, turned the corner and
cool. She
saw him. So that was a surprise. So she started crying like right away.
Right. Mm.
So she started crying and we're like, oh fuck, this is going to be good. So we got into the house and she was like so excited and she turned around and there was a line of about 40 people, all of her old coworkers, old people that we grew up with, like everyone was there. She turned around, everyone yelled surprise. She about shit her pants. So she's going through the whole line and saying, you know, hi to everybody. And so she starts crying even more. So now she's like hysterically crying. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, the big finish was she came outside onto the patio where we flew out her three sisters, my grandma and my grandpa.
Wow.
And it's my grandpa's 94, 95. My grandma's like 91.
Wow.
And my grandpa is not, and he just beat lung cancer. To be honest, I'll say it's hopefully not. Fingers crossed, but the last time I'm going to see him.
Wow.
And so she just pretty much took a knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She pulled a Tebow. And just yeah, and just went down for the count. So we just had a big ass party and we spent like 2.5 days pretty much at my brother's house just partying and having a great time.
That's awesome.
It was fun. Yeah, it was very nice. I haven't seen my grandpa and grandma in years and years. I finally met one of my uncles for the very first time at 34 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was cool. It was a very, very nice weekend.
Did he make you pull his finger and stuff like all uncles do?
No.
Pull the finger, boy.
No, he's a classy one. He's a classy guy. He's very wealthy.
Okay.
He's a very wealthy guy.
Everyone's
so he
got that rich uncle.
Yes, but very, very nice. Uh-huh. He's very good about his, you know, money hasn't affected him in any way.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. He's got the whole thing, like the house on Marco Island in Florida with like a yacht attached to his backyard.
I know where I'm going for my next birthday.
I'm going in March. He was like, dude, you have to come to Marco. I'm like, yeah, please.
Done.
Took my first shot with mom and grandma.
Nice.
And all the aunts. Yeah.
Very
fireball.
Cool.
Oh,
a fireball.
Mom
shot.
Went down.
Wow.
Mom went down on fireball.
Oh, you should meet my great grandma. Tequila shots all day long.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I did a tequila shot with my grandmother not too long ago too, about a year ago. My very first one.
Pretty fun.
Her. Yeah.
It was... That's weird. Yeah. It was just a very weird experience.
Is it? Yeah.
Can I tell you a funny grandma story really fast?
Yes.
As long as we're talking about it. So we are, have I told the Varsity Blues story before?
No, but please do.
Okay.
I hope it's the whipped cream bikini.
Here we go.
Oh, yes.
We are.
Marina, hold your burps.
Yeah. No burping.
I've contained them.
So it's Thanksgiving and the kids are bored and the adults are, you know, arguing about politics and, you know, whatever.
Like this Thanksgiving or just is this?
This is a long time ago. Okay. I think I'm, when did Varsity Blues come out on VHS?
I must have been a freshman in high school.
That's when it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got the VHS playing in the little, their little den area.
Mm-hmm.
And the, what's her name?
Grandma?
No, the actress with the...
Allie Larder.
Allie Larder comes out with the whipped cream bikini on.
Mm-hmm.
And who walks in at that exact moment but my grandmother? And all of us freeze. I mean, it's me and my cousins, and there's probably about six of us. We freeze. Grandma says, "What, you think I haven't put a whipped cream bikini on before?"
Stop it. Yes, Grandma Biz with the whim.
And we just, I mean, some of us crumbled with embarrassment. Some of us crumbled with hilarity.
Oh, yeah. That,
yeah, so.
That's incredible.
Don't hold grandmas back. Grandmas take tequila shots and do whipped cream bikinis, and they know, they've been there. They've done it.
Right, well, here's the deal. I was talking with my grandma earlier, and we were having a long conversation, and I just finally asked her, I was like, "Grandma, I was like, how did like you and Grandpa like meet?" So she told like this big, long, elaborate story about how she worked in the Bronx, and so she would have to take the train to work and yada yada. And every Sunday she would go after church, she would go out with her girlfriend, and they would go have a day. Then my grandpa became interested in her, so my grandpa convinced her friend to like not show up on a Sunday, and he would be there. Mm-hmm. To like, you know, it's a bit odd if it was like a modern day date, like, hey, like I'm just gonna show up, but. Yeah, they went out. She's like, "Yeah, we just walked around the city and talked for like 4 hours, and we went to a concert. Turns out it was Frank Sinatra. That was first date. Gosh. First date, Sinatra in like the 40s.
Wow.
Which is like, that's good, Frank.
Cool. That's really good for Frank. Us, in 60 years, we're going to tell our grandkids, "How'd you guys meet?" Oh, Tinder.
Right. Yeah, Tinder.
Tinder.
Why not?
Podcasts. Recording one night.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. Tim walked in and I just fell in love.
I fell in love.
Hearts are breaking.
Everyone's doing a rapid Google search for you right now.
INSERRA.
And burp.
I'll go funny grandpa story that my uncle just told me.
Okay.
About my 94-year-old grandfather who, he's slow. I mean, he's slow, but God bless him. He still drinks mm-hmm. Budweiser every day.
All right.
Yeah, so he's a Budweiser drinker. So he gets up. Early in the morning, they got to catch like a very, very early morning flight. They take him to the airport. My aunt forgets her purse. So she has to wait at the front while my uncle and grandpa go through security. Now, like I said, my uncle is wealthy. He travels a lot for work. So he has all of the pre-board mm-hmm. TSA shit, like get your own line thing. So he goes through the line. Then they open up the line behind him. So now everybody floods that line because it's short.
Uh-huh.
So everyone floods that line. He goes through, boop, everything's good. Everything's fine. Grandpa goes through. "Sir, do you have anything in your pockets?" "Nope." Walks through, boop. "Okay. Sir, can you empty your pockets?" So he looks and he sees a pen in his shirt pocket. Pulls out a pen. "Anything else in your pockets, sir?" "Nope." Boop. Goes and pats him down. Pulls another pen out of his pocket.
Uh-huh.
"Sir, anything else in your pockets?" "Nope." Boop. Pulls out like $8 in change from his pants.
2 weeks worth of laundry quarters.
So every time he's putting something down, they have to put it in a separate basket. It has to scan through the machine. Uh-huh. They got to look at it.
Uh-huh.
So now he throws in a bunch of change. "Sir, anything else in your pockets?"
"Nope."
"Nope." Boop.
Oh my gosh.
Goes into his other pocket, pulls out more change. That goes in the basket, goes through and scans. "Sir." And by now, my uncle is just fucking done. Like, he's just like, "Come on, Bob."
Yeah.
But my grandpa's a very proud man, so he won't let anyone help him. Like,
uh-huh.
Taking off his shoes, he was like, "No, I have to do it." And then it was a 8-minute thing.
Takes forever.
Yeah. "Sir, anything else in your pockets?" "Nope." Beep. Phone. Phone comes out. Phone goes through.
When does it end?
Yeah. Well, it went on. From what my uncle said, it was like eight baskets of shit that he had to go God. Through. And every time That's he amazing. Had to go through and he had to walk through and he walks really, really slow.
Now, what are the chances that he's just trolling that security guard?
Well,
if he's just like, "I'm 94 years old and I'm going to take my time."
You have to hit a point in life to where you just don't give a shit anymore.
I'm just going to see what I can get away with right here.
It doesn't. By this point, they're almost missing the flight. My aunt, my cousin brings my aunt's purse, so she comes through. So she's already scanned through. Boom, everything's done. She actually went through the other line. She's good. So they're almost late for their flight. My uncle says, "Bob, let me put on your shoes for you." "No, I got it. I can put on my own shoes." So he sits down very slowly, another 8 minutes putting on his shoes. As he bends down, and he took everything out of the baskets and put everything back into his pockets, the pens, the change, the phone, all that stuff. He always carries a pocket knife. Luckily, he didn't have a pocket knife with him.
Right.
So as he bends down, he put all of the change in his shirt pocket.
Oh, no.
So when he bent over, all of the change spilled onto the floor. And he had to pick it all up individually, coin by coin. So he's walking to the airplane, and my uncle's trying his best to just move him along, and he ends up stopping, and he's like, "Nah, Roland, I need a beer." So he goes in and gets a beer, and he's trying to. They put in like one of those like big like to go cups, and then he gets. He rushes him to the plane as the doors were closing, and he's like, "Bob," he's like, "you have your beer, you're good." And he goes, "I don't want this anymore." So, my uncle chucked his beer and was like, "I fucking need this for the flight." And they barely made the plane.
Wow!
But that was my grandpa.
Very funny. And I want to believe that he's just screwing with TSA.
On their layover, he got lost. Well, he didn't get lost, but like he just went to a bar, and my uncle ended up seeing he, because he, my grandpa served on the Iowa in World War II, so everywhere he goes out in public, he will wear, you know, the Iowa battleship hat.
Uh-huh.
So he went and somehow got away from my uncle and went to the bar and sat down by himself. It was just a frail old 95-year-old man with a World War II hat, and so people were just starting buying him drinks, and that's how my uncle found him, because people were like, there was like a crowd around my grandpa. He got away, and he had to go to the fucking bar to get a beer.
Gotta get his Budweiser.
Right.
I can't drink this.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it was cool. It was cool to hear those stories, and it, you know, I don't get to see my family very much because they live on the East Coast. So it was just a really fun weekend.
Sounds like you had a good one.
I did.
I had a good weekend as well. I was up in the snow. Well, very little snow. There was snow on the sides of the road, but, Not really very much any other type of snow. I was up in Lake Arrowhead. It was warm this week. It was cold up there. It was it topped out about 45 degrees, I want to say.
Yep, which is, that's too cold.
Which is pretty cold for Southern Californians. My wife, who's from Minnesota, was, you know, out in her tank top and, shorts. Ugg boots, of course. But she jokes that her blood gets thinned. Or has thinned since she lived out here, but it does kick in after a while where she's just like, I can take the cold now. But yeah, there were like, I don't know, 12 of us, 15 of us, something like that, up in Lake Arrowhead. It was fun.
I love Arrowhead.
That's fun.
If you have not visited Lake Arrowhead, do it. It's quiet. It's close. If you're a Southern Californian, it's close. It's not all the way up the mountain. It's about, I don't know, 2/3 of the way up the mountain. And it's just a really cool place. And she did a great job organizing it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well done.
Fun.
Let's take a trip. I still want to go to Mexico with you.
It's like
a boys trip. Oh, I got to get
a passport.
Fuck, I forgot about that.
I'm taking this one.
I have mine.
She's going.
Fucking world travelers.
You can't sit with us.
No, I can't.
No, you cannot.
All right, we'll enjoy Mexico, assholes.
Get a passport. We've been doing this show for almost a year.
I know.
Get a passport. It's very easy.
Well, even, with you last time, you were like, oh, get a scuba certified. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And here I am. 8 months later, no passport.
Sports Chalet closed. What are you supposed to do?
Ocean Enterprises
That's where I got mine.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where you got yours, too, I take it, since you're plugging them. Mm-hmm. And they kind of sponsored you through everything, too, right?
In a way, yeah, they did. They helped me get some gear before I left for Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I got my open water certification through them. And really, really great people there. If you're in the San Diego area, it's definitely the place to go.
Yeah. I had a great experience with them as well.
Good.
You had a long weekend.
I had a four-week weekend.
4 weeks. 4 weeks and 2 months are the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Good math.
4 weeks.
At least you're pretty.
Abroad. that's debatable. 4 weeks abroad.
Yeah, it was a four-week trip away from work.
And now, spoiler alert, unfortunately, You were not crowned Scuba Queen International.
International, yep. Wah wah.
Who are we taking out to get her to the top?
Yeah, who is that?
Well, it's quite... Eh. Short story or long story?
I kind of want to build up to the long story and start with. Let's get to the big.
That's
yeah.
the spoiler alert. That's in, the
second
that's
teaser.
The big reveal. Now let's go back.
In a nutshell, I will congratulate. It was actually Miss India that won Miss Scuba International. Yeah,
India.
She's a great girl.
They just it's rigged every year with these Indians.
Oh, we all. I mean, in hindsight, we always feel that way, but that's okay.
I knew it.
No, it was a blast. It was so there's three parts to my trip. The major chunk was that I went to Malaysia to compete for Miss Scuba International. On the way there, I spent 3 days in Hong Kong, and on the way home, I went to Texas. So we'll run through each
same.
Of that.
It's the same. Texas and Hong Kong are very similar.
Yeah. Right.
I had to stick with the theme. No, so, okay, 4 weeks ago, I left town to compete for Miss Scuba International. I essentially was traveling by myself to go all the way to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And since I was flying halfway around the world, I said, I have to visit other places. And when I was booking flights, I found a pretty decently priced flight round trip to Hong Kong. So I decided to spend a few days in Hong Kong on the way there. Best decision I ever made.
Cool.
I absolutely loved Hong Kong. So much so that I could consider living there.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. I've already looked for jobs in Hong Kong to see if I could work for Disney or their aquarium,
you
Ocean Park out
bank
there.
You make working for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan. Depends.
Really?
But, yeah.
My friend worked at in Japan for Disney and just made a fucking fortune.
Good.
Well, Tim did. Didn't Tim?
Yeah, Tim was in,
yeah.
in
did
Japan
he, in
for
Japan,
a while,
he was
too.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, he was, that's right, because he told
I think he did
he
the
has
genie
been to Malaysia, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently I'm 2 inches too short to be any of the singing princesses in Hong Kong Disneyland. So
really?
I was kind of bummed about that. But Hong Kong Disneyland was incredible. The show quality was amazing. And then I visited their aquarium, Ocean Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's like SeaWorld Orlando on top of a mountain overlooking the ocean.
Wow.
It was absolutely incredible. If you look at pictures, it's phenomenal.
Okay.
And so there's like the base area on the shoreline, and then you take a sky ride up the mountain.
To get to the park?
So there's half of the park down low, and then the other half of the park up on the summit, and you have to take this sky ride, like open gondola to get to the top. I definitely had a fear of heights.
Dude, I am so afraid of heights.
I was too. And it definitely helped me conquer my fear of heights because it was a very, very scary ride. You're on the side of the mountain, a couple hundred feet above the shoreline.
I'm going to sidetrack you. Another brief story about fear of heights. So I went to the zoo for Imada this year.
Yes.
Nice.
And me and Tim and Chris Fisher were on because we had to get over to the polar bears to do a talk or whatever. So we took the sky ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they know I'm afraid of heights, so I was
holding
onto the pole.
Which is max 25 feet
no,
above the ground.
Right? No,
it gets pretty. I just went on it a couple weeks ago too. It gets pretty high.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty high.
I would say maybe
30 feet, 35 feet,
150 to 200 feet, maybe.
No. Yeah, no, it gets up there
over the valley.
So I start white knuckling it.
I was scared on that too. Couple weeks ago.
And so Tim decides to start moving around all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
Starting to rock. And Chris is just antagonizing him, and they're both being assholes. So I'm freaking out. And I'm like, guys, this shit is going to break down. I'm going to lose my shit. And they're like, it's not going to break down, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, 3 days later, 3 days later at the zoo, it broke down, and people had to get brought down from like ladders.
Kind of airlifted out.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, that would ruin my life. Would ruin my life.
Then don't go to Ocean Park because gondola ride, I swear, easily was 4 or 5 times as high.
Yeah, we're good.
It was ridiculous.
Staying out of Hong Kong. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But it was beautiful. It was so cool. Their dolphin show, the stadium seating overlooks the entire ocean up on top of this mountain.
Wow.
I can't even describe to you. The views that I saw in Hong Kong were amazing. Everywhere.
I would love to see some pictures of that.
Yeah, I have tons. I'll show you. Okay. So like the night view from the harbor at Tsim Sha Tsui, looking at all the buildings. I've never been to New York, but I imagine that I mean, it, based on pictures and stuff, it's very similar to New York, but so much prettier. Huh. And then I took the trolley ride up the mountain to Victoria Peak and overlooked the city. One of the best views I think I'll ever see.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Nice. So other than that, what did you like about it?
Well, it's a very accommodating city. The transit system is really, really well done. It's all in English, so it was really easy to get around.
Oh, that's cool.
I felt very safe. I mean, being a small woman walking around, an American woman, I felt very safe everywhere I went. And I didn't eat very much.
Were you alone?
In 3 days. Yeah, I was by myself. I stayed in a hotel room that was about the size of my car.
Mm-hmm.
And just enough for a bed and a bathroom that had the shower head like over the toilet. It was really, really small. It's $100 a night, and that's
what you
got.
Well, speaking of New York, that's very similar to the hotels in New York. Yeah,
it was tiny.
At least in Times Square.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, everyone should get the chance to go to Hong Kong. It's my new favorite place.
Well, we'll put that on the list right after Mars and the moon. I mean, that's how far away it is for the old Bissets.
Right.
Yeah, feels like it. I mean, it was a 14-hour flight to get there.
That's a long time.
And, yeah.
Yeah, well,
you can get drunk twice on the plane.
I tried.
Get drunk, sober up, wake up. You still have
drink
7 hours to go.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so that's how my vacation started, right?
Yes.
So I was on this super-duper high, and I was getting ready to go to Malaysia. So, remind you, I'm traveling by myself. I get to the airport in Hong Kong to take a domestic flight to, well, I guess it's still an international, whatever. I take a flight to get to Malaysia.
Okay.
Apparently, you're supposed to pre-book the amount of luggage weight that you fly with on
Fuck does that?
Air Asia, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. So I booked 20 kilos, but I had 40 kilos.
Okay.
For people that aren't good at math, it was 2 40-pound suitcases.
Right.
So because I didn't pre-book the weight for my second suitcase, they wanted to charge me $500 US.
Wow.
To put my second suitcase on the airplane. And I was like, hell no, that's not going to work. So
you had to go through and see what stays and what goes?
No, I mean, I had so much with me. I had all my competition wardrobe. I had a ton of sponsored outfits. I had scuba gear. I had everything. Like, there was literally nothing that I could leave behind.
Right.
So my option was to either pay $500 or rebook my flight for the next day so that I could charge my luggage in advance. Then I would get away with paying the $500 fee. It would be less than $500, right?
Okay.
Well, I had like 20 minutes to decide. I was going to call my mom, but it's 3 a.m. back in America, so it was kind of a struggle.
Someone like, waking him up in a dead sleep
and saying,
to deal
hey,
with that.
Can I have $500? Yeah. No, I did not have that.
Right.
So I ended up sleeping in the airport, rebooking my flight, which ended up being I had to rebook 2 flights, and then I had to book a hotel. So in the long run, it ended up costing almost $500, which sucked because
shit.
It meant I got to the dive resort late, so I missed out on a day of diving. But that was like the biggest bummer of everything because I was on such a high from Hong Kong, and then they were like, "Boo, $500." And so
And
what was your what was your total budget for this whole trip?
Oh, I had like $0.
So now you're negative $500.
I was negative $500. Yeah, because so with this trip, once I arrived in Malaysia, my entire 2 weeks with the pageant was covered.
Nice.
So I just had to pay for my flight and the extra couple of days that I was in Hong Kong. And so I was already at, you know, the edge of my dime. I mean, let's be real. I work at a theme park.
It's, and
I don't
and
make
with
very
the
much
Padres,
money.
Don't discount them. They pay you really good money for going out and shooting T-shirts at people. But, I mean, it sounds like it's from your experience in Hong Kong, it sounds like that you would have gladly paid double that, triple that, quadruple that. I mean,
with the amount that my trip was costing, $500 was nothing. So it was just a big bump in the road. But then once I got to Malaysia, I took a 1-hour domestic flight to a smaller city, and then I took a boat ride to an island, which is where I got to stay for 12
days. You were like water bungalows. Like,
it was the Mabul water bungalows off of Semporna in Malaysia. It was the most beautiful place near the ocean I've ever seen.
And I was following your Facebook pretty closely those two weeks. And it I didn't know places like that existed.
No, it was absolutely incredible. It was so beautiful that I think I just ruined my expectations for a honeymoon because...
Yeah, give it up, boys.
That was, I mean, picture
Best
perfect.
Western in El Cajon. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty... I mean, you might as well do that. You know, you could rent some place in Hawaii. Oh. You know what? Nope. She's
you
been to the
to
best place on
me
Earth.
A dolphin in order to...
You know where Mike and I love? Laughlin.
Laughlin, Nevada. You could take the train around the Ramada.
Oh, man. So if anyone has followed me on Facebook or Instagram or Scuba Queen USA, you got to check out the pictures because
incredible.
This place was amazing. So it was really fun. The whole time we were there, we did a lot of photo shoots. I mean, the first 3 days were all photo shoots. And then we went scuba diving. I know. It was amazing. So we got to scuba dive at one of the premier dive sites in the whole world. It's called Barracuda Point at Sipadan Island. Mm-hmm. If any diver has traveled to a tropical place, they've probably heard of this one, if not have been there. It's a very exclusive spot. They only allow 120 people to get permits to dive the island each day.
Oh, per day.
Per
okay.
day, 120
oh, I was gonna
per day.
Say, I was going to think like year, and I was going to go like, oh,
no.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But I mean, 120 per day, that's only like 8 boats. It's a small.
Yeah.
It's really small. It was so beautiful. We did 3 dives, super warm water. I don't even remember what I didn't look at the temperature, but I was in a 3-mil wetsuit, and we saw everything, absolutely everything, from barracuda to sea turtles, white-tip reef sharks, all the fish and coral that you could think of. I saw a ton of clownfish. I saw a cuttlefish that was over a foot long.
Wow.
It was huge. So just absolutely incredible. I was like squealing through my regulator into the water every time I saw something cool.
Now, did you have to bring all your own equipment or did the pageant
I ended up borrowing gear from them on the island. Yeah.
Makes sense because I mean, if you're traveling that much.
Well, last minute, I was weighing all my stuff and realizing how much baggage
right, if you have to go by
weight.
There's
a weight limit.
Yeah,
yeah that's
and
a lot.
I was, God forbid, I lose anything or whatever. I was really nervous. So yeah. I left it and then I borrowed gear on the island, which was fine. It was a very trusting dive resort, really great people and amazing diving.
Yeah, it's like bringing all of our podcast equipment to do a podcast in Malaysia and realizing that we don't have a power strip.
Yeah. Some power converter.
Well, this was for nothing.
Yeah, this was great.
Yeah.
Recording on the iPhone right now.
So it was funny to think that I was actually there competing in a pageant because I met 15 girls from different countries, became really great friends with all of them, spent time scuba diving and just hanging out on the island. And then at the end of it, somebody was crowned Miss Scuba International. So.
No, okay. So that's another question that I had. I mean, so is it like best buoyancy? Like, do you have to answer questions underwater?
No, I don't have to wear flippers on stage.
No,
everyone
no,
asks.
No. Like, but is it, how do they decide the winner? What's the criteria?
So it's very similar to the structure of Miss America.
Okay.
For
those who are not familiar with episode number 12, can you give a very quick recap?
Yeah, so Miss America is the pageant that I competed in 3 years ago, which is kind of what sparked my interest to do a scuba pageant, because mm-hmm. how random is that? But I had spent years competing with Miss America and became a scuba diver, and so Miss Scuba International was the perfect combination of the two. So the qualifications were just that you had to be a scuba diver and speak English, and then the competition itself involved a private interview. They judged us based on our social ability and cooperation during photo shoots and throughout the time on the island. And then there was the stage component, which included evening gown, talent, onstage question, and swimsuit.
Did you sing again?
I did, okay. Yes. So,
which song did you sing this time?
All the girls performed a talent on a previous day talent show, and I did Let It Go from Frozen. Because
nice.
Let's be real, everyone loves Frozen.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be called in the top 5 talent out of all the girls. So.
BJ was Elsa for Halloween this year.
What?
Yeah. And he did the remember
How
that
would
part?
I not seen pictures
remember
of
that
this?
Part in Frozen when she like takes her hair down?
Yeah.
And the dress gets all long and white?
Yeah.
He
transformation.
Performed that. I mean, it was.
I had the whole little thing.
It was magic.
It and it would just.
And just. It just came out. Right. And the wind was blowing on his balcony out here, and it was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So magical.
And he hit that high note, too.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
I need photos.
Oh, there weren't any taken. We weren't allowed to. Lies. I mean, we had to put our phones into a basket.
Into
a lockbox.
And by Elsa from Frozen, I was Robert Goulet.
And
that's what we meant.
You just drank and sang.
Right.
But there was singing.
God, oh, there was singing.
There was singing.
Yeah.
Naturally.
So you sing that's Let It Go. Fun.
I did.
And the Malaysians go nuts.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves Frozen.
Everyone loves Frozen.
And so Miss India.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do?
All right, so are we going long story right now?
We're still in long story.
Okay, yeah, okay. I was saying when we're getting it, like I'm saying I want long story. Yeah. I don't want short story.
Okay.
What is her
talent? I don't
think
it's ever a short story with me, sorry.
She was a dancer.
No, yeah.
Okay.
There weren't any really odd talents. Everyone had a fairly normal talent, except for Miss Macau. She played... So Macau is a... country,
mm-hmm.
city,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Sure.
Area.
Region
next near Hong
Place
Kong
where
in
live.
China. Mm-hmm. Yes. So she played this beautiful instrument, this Chinese instrument. It's like sat on a chair. I don't even know what it was called, but that was really cool. The most unique out of all the talents. Most other girls were dancers, singers. Pretty normal, typical stuff.
It is a special administrative region.
Really?
Macau. I don't know what that means.
Special administrative.
Was that just tweeted by Trump?
Yeah, he just tweeted that and he's taking a phone.
They have their own flag, so. Well, I mean, but so do states.
And they have their own. They have their own representative in Scuba.
In Miss Scuba International.
Queen International.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's official.
Well, there you go.
Well, she was actually my roommate for most of the time, and she was really cute. Yeah, it was, and that was one of the coolest things too, is that all the girls were required to speak English. But there were a handful of girls that had very minimal English. So it was kind of a fun struggle to try to communicate with girls and make friends. So obviously, naturally, I gravitated towards the girls that spoke more English. It was just obviously easier to communicate with them. So I was really close with Miss UK, Thailand, Hong Kong, Latvia, Netherlands. But there were also girls from Macau, Japan, Myanmar, China.
What a life she has.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's insane. You're just meeting all these women, and then you're just like, hey, let's go look at Barracuda.
Yeah.
35 feet under the water.
Yeah, and it was a pretty special group of women. I mean, I'm a pretty passionate person about conservation.
And conversation.
That's
why you've been
obviously.
On the podcast. The
So going into it, I was like, oh, I got this. I mean, there's no one that likes conservation and scuba and pageants more than I do. Well, shoot, I showed up and there were 15 girls that were all at the same level.
Very cool.
I was pretty surprised.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you get there and you compete and mm-hmm. I don't want to jump the long story.
That's okay.
But it's time to crown a winner.
Yes.
And this has been 2 weeks into the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, are you getting judged throughout all the other stuff? Like, excuse me. Like the photo shoots, the diving, all that stuff, like everything you're doing, because you said like your first 3 days were just photo shoots, right?
Yeah. So essentially, we were constantly being judged. And at the end of it, we voted on Miss Congeniality for the other girls, but different than normal Miss Congeniality. Normally, you pick a name of who you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we all scored. We gave a score for all the other girls.
Oh.
And apparently all the volunteers also got to score the girls. So that meant that everybody that was there and participating got to kind of put their input in on how the girls were.
In all honesty, the only one that should have been able to do it are the volunteers, I think.
I mean,
how you deal with the other people. Like, I could be in a competition together, and I could be like, oh, I don't like you because you're prettier than I am or because you're a better singer than I am.
Or
so,
you just score it poorly.
Uh-huh. You're a bitch. One.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and that's something that I think may have affected me because realistically there were 4 or 5 girls that I did not have many conversations with, not because they weren't nice girls, but because they didn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few girls that had very, very little English, and the handful of them kind of stuck together. And I think that when those groups were formed, it may have kind of, you know, created a clique, which sounds silly because that's not how pageants normally are, but I don't know. It's weird because
why would you give a person in the competition any power?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, yeah. I guess, to me.
I mean, I was trying to be as honest and, you know, give girls the most deserving score that I thought. But obviously it crossed my mind. Like,
but you're
we
also
all knew that
but you're also such a rude person, like deep down.
So mean. Right? So mean on the inside. No, but I mean, come to
so
find
who
out,
ended up
were,
taking that one home? The Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality went to Miss Korea.
If you say it's Miss India, okay.
No.
It's like, yes, oh, miss. I'm going to throw down.
No, it went to Miss Korea, which is funny because she is one of the few that didn't speak very much English. Mm-hmm. But even at minimal English, she was able to prove that she was like the life of the party and really sweet, very nice, even
and
with
she
basic
could,
words.
She could do drop her weights in an emergency like no other way. I mean...
Now, during any of this time, were there nights where like you guys had off and you girls could all drink and like hang out, or was it all just like was it like serious?
Every night on the island, we had a buffet style dinner that we all sat on a huge 20-person table.
I'm gonna say no because I just saw your facial expression and I'm like, if there was a night to drink, I'm sure Marita would have been like, oh yeah, there was.
Well, we had a couple, which was nice. Going into it, I didn't think that we would get to drink at all, but there were a couple nights that we all got to enjoy some wine, and those were some good nights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we were there during the supermoon, too.
Oh, cool.
Did you guys
cool.
see the supermoon?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. We saw the supermoon.
Oh, my gosh. Seeing the supermoon on the ocean at night, it was incredible. It was
amazing.
Very cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that was good. That was one of our party nights. That was fun.
Very nice.
But other than that, I mean, it was mostly... We were up really early every day and then up late each night. So anytime we had a chance to sleep, we slept for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spent...
I can appreciate a good nap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a professional napper, too.
Group nap action. Yeah.
So looking back, we spent like the first 10 to 12 days on the island. And then we flew back to the mainland to spend the last couple of days at the final competition. So the final competition night was the onstage pageant portion, which I was lucky that my mom and my sister flew out to Malaysia to come.
Yeah,
watch.
I saw that. That's nuts. Yeah. That's awesome.
Really cool.
I kept telling him, don't do it. Don't do it. It's so expensive. But my mom was like, whatever. We want a vacation too. So they enjoyed it. They had a great time. And it was worth it because my sister and I actually got to finally dive together in warm water. So that was really good.
Yeah, my parents won't even come to San Diego from Orange County. You got them flying to fucking Malaysia. Oh,
they loved it. They wanted to. Yeah.
You're doing what in the what show?
The what?
Yeah.
He does something with a fucking pigeon or something. I don't know.
What's going on down there?
Largest pigeon I've ever seen.
No, yeah. What does he do? He feeds pigeons. He feeds pigeons.
You can do that in New York on the streets like a crazy old lady.
Yeah.
Done. I'll do that too. Are they hiring?
No, if you've seen his videos, his birds are way cooler than pigeons.
No, yes, they're fun.
No, I want to be the old lady in New York feeding pigeons.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
I just
realized the crazy one.
I think I'm about 15 years away from finding some weird, like being the crazy animal guy in something in some weird capacity. I don't know what it's going to be, whether it's feeding pigeons or hoarding dogs or. I don't know.
Hoard dogs.
72 cats.
Right, something like that.
Yeah. I could see you with cats.
Really?
No.
Not at all.
Anyway.
So there you are. Your mom and your sister and you are in Malaysia.
Yes. So final day of the pageant. Mm-hmm. I was feeling really great. Had a wonderful time up to this point. But through the time, obviously, all the girls kind of start to get a feel for who the best competitors are. And I think that going into it, I knew that I had a very good chance just based on my pageant history and, you know, my communication skills. And I felt like I had a lot to offer them. And I show up and everyone's really, really fantastic. I mean, very passionate about conservation, beautiful girls, they're all talented, good divers. So I was like, crap, this is good competition. But Miss China was definitely a standout. And so come down to the final night. Between amongst all the girls, we kind of all had a consensus that it may have come down to me and China. And so we go through the competition and I just give it everything I can. Granted, I've been sick most of the trip.
Oh.
Like the third day that I got to the island, I started to get sick. Uh-huh. And so I was kind of pushing through it the whole time and finally pulled it together almost by the last day. And I figured whatever happened was fine. I still got this incredible experience and winning would have been icing on the cake because I would have been able to travel the world.
Yeah.
But it was fine. So we do the show, which includes swimsuit, evening gown, I get to do my talent again for the audience, and then they announced the top five, and the top five went to China, Indonesia, Latvia, India, and Philippines.
Oh, wow.
India.
So I was left standing there, uh-huh, not in the top five, which is the worst feeling. It really is.
Yeah.
So it was a bummer. I walked backstage with the other girls, and we all kind of sat there and looked at each other, and it was like, well, we did our best.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
It's going to be okay. We all kind of agreed backstage that it felt a little odd. Uh-huh. Just, you know, when you get to know the other girls, you all kind of pick your favorites and who you think is going to do well. And while everyone in the pageant was deserving, we all kind of felt that there were a couple other girls that...
that should have been in the top five.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
yourself included.
I mean, yeah, I felt like there was nothing I did really poorly to have kept myself out of the top five. Mm-hmm. But pageants are interesting, and the way the numbers can fall sometimes can be really weird, and sometimes you just never know. But my heart initially dropped to think about the Miss Congeniality scores and wondering if that's something that played into it. But I was happy for the girls and watched them do their onstage questions, and then the results came out to be, they called the second runner-up, first runner-up, and then the winner. Mm-hmm. So it was second runner-up went to Miss China.
Who you thought was
who
you
thought, I thought was obviously going to win. I mean, once UK and I were out of the top five, we were like, well, China's got it in the bag.
Yeah.
But she was called a second runner-up. Philippines was called as first runner-up. And there were three girls left. And we're like, well, dang it. Who has it? I'm so confused. And it went to Miss India. So I was very happy for her because her entire family was there. She had like eight people there to watch her. So I'm very happy for her in that moment. I mean, I think that with pageants, they can always turn out a little differently than you may expect, the way the judging system works. But ultimately, all of us got to walk away with one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had.
Yeah,
and it was funny. We talked about it in our last episode with Audrey, because we made that joke earlier about, like, you know, you come on the podcast. Like, if you want anything, come on the podcast and we'll make it happen. But, like, we brought it up, and we actually recorded it the day that I saw on... was it on Facebook, or like you posted something about to like watch it live or something like
yes.
that. So I watched a little bit of it, like maybe like 10 minutes of it. And it was like really scratchy and I couldn't really see it, but
it was difficult to watch.
Yeah, it was difficult to watch. But yeah, like we talked about it and we're super bummed that you didn't win. But then we thought about it too. And I'm sure, like you said, your attitude is like, yeah, but you just spent 4 weeks like having an amazing experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard. It's coming back. I mean, I'm sure absolutely you were bummed at the time, but looking back on it now, I'm sure, you know.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, it was worth it. I could have been in dead last and I still would have been happy.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm competitive, so that would have sucked, but it was an amazing experience and I'm glad I got to go and I'm forever a part of the Miss Scuba family. And I know that I'll get to go back to Malaysia someday and go scuba dive there again.
Especially if you move to Hong Kong.
Right. I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, I would legitimately consider, this has definitely sparked my interest to travel the world and see more places. I want to find someplace exotic to go get my dive master and just see more places. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, for people that have only spent their time living in, you know, one place and haven't had the opportunity to travel, I really hope that everyone takes the opportunity to see as many places as they can.
You should just look directly at me,
BJ,
when you say that.
Go get your passport.
I honestly don't know what it is.
Travel the world.
I would like to, but I'm just like, like the fact that you did, like that you just went to like Hong Kong like on your own. Like I would never, ever, ever even consider doing that.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's scary. It was definitely a big risk,
yeah,
big faith, but so worth it. I mean, I feel like I've grown as a person and you just learn so much more about how to get through life. I mean, when you're stranded in an airport halfway around the world with absolutely no money to pay for the $500 worth of luggage, and you're sitting there in a chair crying, and some guy in Chinese is like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm fine. Don't talk to me." I mean, it's those moments that really make you build as a person and remind you that the problems that we have in our day-to-day life can be so small compared to the problems that other people have.
I know. I mean, it's like we could, when we were in Lake Arrowhead, like we couldn't connect to the Wi-Fi right away.
Right.
I mean, and it was.
First world problems.
I mean, I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now on my phone. I'm only at like 3 bars.
No, it's true.
I don't know how you're doing it, man.
It's hard.
And the battery life is tough. Yeah. Yeah.
I ran out of space from all the photos that I took of.
Brutal.
No. End of the world.
Yeah. But. I have been to I don't know, 3 countries, including this one. we're recording in the United States. It was awesome, but I mean I would love to see more of it.
So where else have you been? Here
Mexico,
in Mexico
and Spain.
Oh, I love Spain.
Spain's
awesome.
Been to Spain.
How was Spain, Mike?
Spain was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah.
What'd you do in Spain?
I ran with the bulls in Spain.
Oh, did
Shut
you?
Shut up, you yeah. did not.
I did. Have you not heard this story?
No. Tell it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. So
my buddy Greg,
we were drinking at a bar and he said, "Hey, I'm going to Spain in 3 weeks. Do you want to come?" And I was a recent graduate of college and I said, yeah, let's do it. Why not? I've always wanted to run with the bulls. And he's like, "Well, that's what we're doing is we're running with the bulls." And I said, okay. Yeah, let me do it. So I actually expedited a passport. And that was expensive, but I was like, I'm not missing this opportunity.
How much is a passport like normally? Like $100?
$125.
Okay.
Yeah, this was close to $300 because I needed it in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Spain. We spent a lot of time around Pamplona. I mean, Barcelona, Madrid, and San Sebastian.
Cool.
Did those 3 cities in addition to Pamplona. And running with the bulls was one of the coolest and one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. We actually got, when we got to Pamplona, a cab driver was driving us into town, and he spoke a little bit of English. And we were there with a girl.
Do you speak Spanish?
I have learned Spanish 3 times, and I have forgotten it 3 times. I speak a little bit, but not enough to be confident enough to...
Or in Spain, either. That's different.
It's different in Spain.
Yeah. Spanish in Spain is, a little bit different.
Yeah, my ex is Argentinian, and her Spanish is fucking crazy.
Way different.
Yeah.
Yeah, very different. But he spoke a little English, and we were there with a girl, and he said, we asked our cab driver, can she do it? Can she run with the bulls? Because in all the videos, we only see men doing it. And the Spaniards are very machismo. They're very, they're very masculine. And so we kind of assumed that they didn't really allow the women to run with the bulls. It was a very manly thing to do. And the cab driver says, yes, the women are allowed to do it. They're just smart enough not to. And,
good point.
So we at that point knew what we were getting involved in. This is a very stupid thing, but it's something I always wanted to do. So I'll just make it fast. My buddy,
spoiler alert, you didn't die.
I didn't die. I almost did.
Uh-oh.
I figured this is if I die, I'm going to be on the news. a lot, because there aren't a whole lot of deaths there, actually. There's a lot of gorings. There's a lot of tramplings. Every few years it'll happen. I believe
somebody died by a bull when I was in Spain in middle school. It wasn't the running of the bulls, but it was at a bull farm.
Gotcha.
We were supposed to go visit, and that morning they called us and they're like, "Hey, don't come in. One of our people died."
Yeah. It happens.
So it totally happens. They're absolutely dangerous animals.
They're absolutely dangerous animals. I mean, they're very large and they're very fast
and
they're very
pointy.
Strong. Very pointy, it turns out. So I'm there. I'm now there with my buddy Greg and my buddy Mike, who ran the day before. So he's done this. And he now knows. He's now telling us strategy. He's telling us what to do. So there's that clip
Zigzag.
All the time. There's that clip where every time you watch footage of the San Fermín, they call it, there's that corner where the bulls kind of peel out, and it's a very sharp corner. They call it Dead Man's Curve, and the bulls will kind of go up against a wall because they can't make that turn very fast. So that's where we actually waited for them.
Oh my gosh.
And my friend Mike said, you're gonna see 3 types of people. You're gonna see people that are scared, You're going to see people that are terrified, and you're going to see people that are, holy shit, we're going to die. We are waiting for holy shit, we're going to die. Because that's when you know that they're, that the bulls are right there, and we're gonna run with them. Because a lot of people, when it turns 8 o'clock, they just start running, and they never see any action. They just go straight through the course, and they never see anything because they're so scared. And we were actually pretty stupid, and we waited there for them. So Mike just starts saying, "Go, go, 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 go!" And we take off. The three of us take off.
Girl included?
No. Annie was very smart, and she was in the stadium because from the start...
They feed to the stadium?
Yes. So the way it started was that the streets in Pamplona were not wide enough for the farmers to get the bulls into the bull ring with their carts. So they had to unload them on the main strip and then walk them to the stadium. That's how it started. Mm. And then drunken Spaniards decided, let's start running with them. And that's just kind of how it became a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So it ends in the bull ring. And that's where Annie was waiting for us with a video camera.
Wait, do you have video of this?
I do not. That video camera was stolen.
No.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was actually interning at ABC at the time in the sports department.
None of it.
Pretty much never happened.
I'm going to call BS. You got pictures, video?
She has pictures. No, yeah, I was interning at ABC at the time in the sports department, and our sports anchor was like, "Dude, bring in that footage because we'll put it on the news." And yeah, it was stolen. I'm still very bitter about that.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's painful.
So we take off. Mike's the fastest man alive. He takes off. He's a Marine. He's, you know, very athletic. He always has been. He takes off and he's gone. My buddy Greg goes to the left, and I'm just still kind of going straight. And our plan was, when you get to the bull ring, go to the center, make a right, and we will meet there, wherever that is. So Mike takes off, Greg goes to the left, and I am stuck in this group of people trying to go. I get out of this pile of people, and I'm now running alongside a bull for about 6 seconds.
Holy crap.
Which was incredible.
Probably felt like forever.
It felt like forever. And I don't see any of my friends. So I just say, okay, let's go to the meeting point. I am now sprinting. Because after the last bull gets into the bull ring, they close the doors. And nobody else can get in. So now I just realize I have to make it inside the ring before the last bull. So I'm hauling.
Now you're racing a bull to get in.
Racing a bull
to meet your friends. Did you guys like let most of the bulls run past you, and then you stuck with all the slow fat ones in
the
back?
Nope. We took off remember the holy shit we're gonna die people.
Oh, that's right.
We took off with them.
Oh man.
So we saw all of them pass. Most of them pass.
Okay.
But I made it into the ring. Mike was there waiting for me. We give each other a big hug. We've known each other since we were 5 years old. Big hug, and we're going, "Where's Greg? Greg's not here. Well, he died. He's probably dead." No, the doors were still open.
Greg is no longer with us anymore.
That's the moral of the story.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, yeah. The doors are still open, so we're like, oh, Greg's going to come. The doors closed, still no Greg. We screw around, you know, in the center of this beautiful bull ring.
With bulls.
Which was just, again, stupid.
Nope. Wait, they're just sitting in there with you?
Well, once they get into the little paddock,
it's a big...
then they release one at a time to just kind of toy with us.
I'm going to tell you what I'm picturing right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're going down like a long hallway into the arena, and now it's almost like a big oval like the Colosseum.
Imagine Gladiator.
Right. Yeah, that Colosseum. Not where the Rams play. God damn, that was a dumb move, huh?
Brutal.
Oof. Yeah. Thanks, Tavon Austin.
They're getting there.
So I'm picturing like, yeah, you're whatever, the circle, oval, whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's just people just like hanging out, and they're like, ooh, fuck, finally, we made it. And then they release one bull.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Those horns are corked.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of gorings.
So when you make it to the end, you're not safe because they're going to release more bulls.
Yeah. Well, there is a wall you can hop over. So when you're exhausted, you can hop over the wall to get out. But we were
we're
in to win it, man. Let's,
right.
Let's tempt fate. I did have one chase me for about 4 seconds, And again, it was the longest 4 seconds of my life. And then it got distracted by something else, and it you know, saw a squirrel.
Ooh, something shiny.
Mm-hmm. So Mike and I are we're looking at each other, checking
bulls love butterflies,
checking our pulses, and just like, okay, we're done. Let's get out of here. So we meet up with Annie with my video camera, and have you seen Greg? No. So we're looking at. We actually now go outside of the stadium, looking around for Greg, and Greg is laying down, bleeding.
No.
With a medic, and he's like holding his side, and he's like, I don't know what happened. And I'm like, well, I know what happened. You're bleeding. When we split apart, Mike went first, I went next, and Greg went to the left. As he's going to the left, there was a bull right there. And he did like this matrix move, like spin move, and actually landed on the bull's back. So he didn't get gored, but it split him open and it broke two ribs or something like that. And yeah, he was,
which
he
is
was
lucky.
In
I would
bad
think that's,
shape.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. If he not had done that whatever spin move he did that he says he did, I don't know. He could have been hit by someone with a wine bottle. I don't know because I didn't see it. But
again, it's not on camera, so I don't.
It's
believe
not
it.
On right, camera. Yeah. None of this happened.
All bullshit stories, but you're still a good storyteller.
Yeah. Seriously, you guys could have died.
Oh, this easily. Is... yeah.
That's
have you? You've never done something really to where like you could have died.
I mean.
Scuba diving with barracuda and sharks.
And I ride horses. You can get right, hurt
you,
like that.
You
but
can.
Running with bulls, that's a...
No, I'm saying like an event to where you're going to and you're signed up for it to where it's like, I know, like, I don't know, you could even say like skydiving.
Gone to frat parties, does that count?
No, that's where you can
that's
get
the
raped.
Scariest
no,
thing.
That's rape, not dying.
No, I don't think I've ever put myself in a situation like that where there's a... highly guaranteed chance of you getting speared by a bull's horn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was dumb.
I wouldn't. It's again, fun. Women are smarter
dumb.
Than that.
We did run with a very attractive blonde woman from Texas.
Well, Texans are crazy.
Who was holding my shirt as we were running. And I,
oh, no, that's when
and
I do
at
it.
That point it is. Yeah. And we even discussed it. We were just like, hey, when this starts... It's everybody.
Every man
I mean,
for
you themselves. You know you can get out now if you want. Mm-hmm. If I mean, if you are being murdered by a bull, I will try to do something. But I'm not waiting for you. I'm not
Hunger Games.
Hunger
get
Games.
Out.
Yeah,
totally.
I could use you as a human shield if I needed.
I'm
to.
I'm going
to
throw you in front of me if right. I need to do that.
Yeah, hold on to my back because the bull's going to hit you first, mm-hmm. and then it's going to break your fall.
So
or break my fall.
Every we ran on July 11th, 7/11. So every July 11th. I messaged both of those guys and I'm like, happy anniversary. Like
nice.
We did the stupidest, dumbest thing.
But the coolest.
That people do.
I mean, that
that's
really,
cool.
Even though you don't have video, it's something that you'll forever have
oh,
in your
it's,
mind.
Oh, it's very vivid in my memory it's that I made cool. up.
Mm-hmm. I need to get
the
out more.
The whole thing.
So, BJ, the moral of the story is get a goddamn
get a
passport.
Freaking passport.
I need to get out more, man. I got to start doing shit. Mm-hmm. It's so expensive and I can't
it
afford it.
It is expensive, it. But one of my favorite quotes is that the only thing... Oh, shit, I'm going to mess it up.
Was it Dan's leg, no one's watching?
No, it's... Oh, man, I ruined it.
Just read it from your Facebook.
The more you know.
Just read it from your Instagram meme. What was it?
The only way that money makes you richer is if you travel the world. Something
that's
like that.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Even if she's paraphrasing.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
You know, I mean, do you get it? I'm
no,
so
I do.
Bad at
no, I get
quotes
it.
Quotes and stories. And, I mean... I could spend my whole life not having very much money in the bank, but if I'm getting to travel and see the world, that alone will be so much more worth it than.
Oh, absolutely! Oh no, I'm not looking. I'm not looking to have money in the bank. I work with animals. That's never going. That's never
going to happen.
That's not going to be a thing.
I'm right there with you.
I am fully aware of this. Yeah, I'm just happy that I come home every day happy, and that's pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't come out and take my day out on anyone.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that there's so many things in the world and so many places to see that seeing them on TV and in books is just not enough.
So then what's next for you? Break some news for us again right here.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Here we go.
She's being, she's being named to Trump's cabinet.
Oh, God, no. That's one. You know, it's actually really weird. This is the first time in my life that I have no plans in front of me. And it is the most terrifying thing. Because I'm somebody that thrives off of having three jobs at a time, 20,000 things to do on my to-do list every single day. You know, I definitely thrive off of that. But the past few years, I went through college, and then I competed at Miss America, and then I've worked for SeaWorld and competed for Miss Scuba. Like, I've always had something to look forward to and something to plan for. And this is literally the first time that I have nothing. I mean, aside from my part-time job at SeaWorld, it's the only thing that I have right now.
Right.
And
that's going to be kind of refreshing for you, though.
In a way, yes, but you can only spend so much time sitting on the couch at home watching Netflix that you're like, I need to get out.
There's some good stuff on Netflix, though.
There is.
That sounds amazing.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Westworld.
Westworld.
Don't spoil it.
I won't say anything. I was going to try and make up something stupid. But
like a bull story?
No, I just went.
That story was a bunch of bull.
Hey-o.
Nobody else thought of it. Right. Very proud of it.
No, I just went back, and this is what I do with my nights now. I just went back and watched. I'm watching The Sopranos again.
So good.
Number six.
Great Pretty show.
Good. Six times watching the entire series.
Wow.
What the fuck am I doing with my life?
BJ, get a passport.
Get a passport.
It's not going to change anything.
You could go to Italy and see those places where what Tony talks about when he was in. Oh, he was in New York.
No, I just want to go to Satchery Hall's pork store and just hang out there.
And just
sit there.
There's
like
a really
fucking
good Italian restaurant.
Like Polly Wolfe.
Were they Jersey? They're in Jersey in that show.
Jersey,
right?
Yeah. They're in Jersey.
Yeah.
It was funny because last time I went to Jersey to visit my family, that's the first thing I asked my uncle. I'm like, dude, just take me wherever fucking Satchery's pork store is. He goes, it's like 3 hours away. I'm like, I don't care. Take me. And he never did.
Aww.
Italy is on my list.
Mine too, for sure.
I care nothing about Europe, really.
Oh, really? That's where the Irish from?
I'm not going to say. Well, Ireland is. Yes. Ireland. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's in Europe.
I know. Okay, I'm not going to say I cared nothing about Europe. I would just,
Where
it's
would you
very
rather
low
go?
On my list.
What's
yeah,
on top
my
of
top
list?
Three are Africa, Australia, Ireland. That's it.
That's funny because we talked about that. That's,
we did.
I'm on the same page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Africa, Australia, Ireland. That's
Australia
it.
Would be a place that's next for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but Australia would be a lot of fun animal shit. Like pretty much, other than Ireland.
You know, where everything can kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. Kind you can scary. Get your story. But you need to put yourself in that situation. It's fun, man. It's fun. Yeah, I mean, you work with whales. I've fucked around with tigers and stuff. Like,
that's
being
cool.
In a situation where something can kill you,
mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I work with children.
Just as scary.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just as scary.
No, but I'm definitely looking for opportunities to travel the world. And I love SeaWorld. I love working for them. I absolutely want to have a career there. I mean, unfortunately, we all know that some things might not work out the way you want. Mm-hmm. And
well, and it sounds like you've got your sights set on conservation and adventure, and there's a lot of venues to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I was in Malaysia, they actually brought the World Wildlife Federation, World Wildlife
mm-hmm.
Fund
mm-hmm.
Federation.
Hulk Hogan was there?
No. The WWF.
Let me tell you, brother.
Panda style. Yeah, no, it was really cool. They brought the WWF to speak to us, and they taught us about sea turtles and shark finning, and I was like, cool, this is stuff I teach every single day. But getting to see it in a new light in a different part of the world where I actually got to see the turtles in the wild, oh my God, I didn't tell you. We released sea turtle baby hatchlings.
Oh, I saw that.
Right. Yeah, you posted about
I
that.
I cried like a baby. It was one of the coolest things I've ever done. And to get to experience that was incredible. So
very cool.
It's stuff like that that inspires me to just book an airplane ticket, fly someplace around the world, apply for a job, and be somewhere where I can hands-on help in the ocean. You know, if I'm doing artificial coral restoration or advocating for shark finning, like I need to do it.
The cool thing about you having so much experience with scuba now is that is such an international
mm-hmm.
Hobby.
It is.
That you could, I mean, you could go to South Africa with
yeah.
all of your certifications
yeah,
and
that's
just
where
go.
The great whites are.
Yeah. and just say, it's cold though.
Oh, I would do that. I would do that.
Oh, that's on my list. I'm actually working on a trip to go to Mexico with the great whites.
But I mean, you could go
to. That'll be next.
Yeah.
You could go to anywhere in Europe. You can mm-hmm. go to anywhere in Asia and just say, I'm here to apply for a job as a scuba instructor or to
yeah.
take people out as a dive master and. I will learn your language in 2 weeks, and
absolutely. And language is one of my favorite things, so mm-hmm. that's another reason why I want to travel, because I already speak English, Spanish, a little Japanese.
Prove it.
Hola, me llamo Marina.
No.
Konnichiwa.
We're in San Diego.
O genki desu ka? Watashi no namae wa Marina desu.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's
pretty good. Very basic. But even in Malaysia, Malay language was really easy to learn. I learned quite a bit. By quite a bit, I mean I learned like 10 words. But that was way more than when I went to China. China was a very, very difficult country to be in because the language is so hard. Yeah. And they speak two or three different languages.
There's Chinese, there's Mandarin, there's
Cantonese. And then there's different dialects among that. I think that there's a total of like 25 Chinese dialects. It's crazy.
That's weird. If you had to learn another language, what would it be? What do you think is the best sounding language other than English? And I don't even think English is that great.
I don't know if I told you this story or not. Yeah. I almost rented an apartment from a lady who spoke Portuguese.
I would love
just because her accent was and her accent and the language.
Mm-hmm. It's sexy
because her son was there too, and she was speaking to him in Portuguese, and I was just like, I will do anything that you ask me to do right now. If you want first and last month, I don't even have it, but I'll do it. That's a beautiful language.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if it would sound as sexy coming from me, but that was a beautiful language.
I had a boss that spoke Portuguese, and I loved listening to her.
That combination of Spanish and French just was
so
awesome.
One of my favorite things to do
Italian's good too.
Italian's beautiful. One of my favorite things to do at SeaWorld is learn how to say thank you in different languages, mm-hmm. because I encounter so many people every day. And so I actually recently counted that I can say thank you in 13 different languages. And Portuguese is one of my favorite words.
How do you say thank you in Portuguese?
Obrigado.
Obrigado.
Obrigado. Thank you. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful language. Hmm. Yeah. Well, Italian would be cool.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That would be neat.
But clearly I'm not going to fucking Italy.
No, you're not.
No.
Not with your driver's license.
I would love to learn like an African language.
Thanks,
too.
DMV.
No.
One of those?
Not one of those.
Easy.
Like, Hakuna Matata.
When we had Connor in here,
Connor and
he
Missy,
learned a
yeah.
little bit of
Swahili.
Was it Swahili?
I want to say it was Swahili.
I don't remember
it sounds
where they
familiar.
Went.
But yeah, that's actual. Like,
my roommate has actually. She went to Africa and taught me some of their words, and it seems pretty fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, try that next.
Sure.
Yeah. Safaris in Africa.
Yes. Next time you come back, tell us how to say thank you in Swahili.
Nope, don't have it.
Oh,
nope.
I was going to say.
I almost did.
Right
I almost did.
That would have been a game changer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing
thank
your experiences
you
with us.
Yeah. I appreciate it. It's, you know, for your listeners, I hope that they've enjoyed the entire adventure from start mm-hmm. to finish. I don't know if they want to follow me on Instagram, mermaid.marina. You guys can go back and look at some pictures.
Yeah, they're pretty incredible.
Many mm-hmm. more to come.
And the sea turtle stuff was really cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
It was an incredible experience. I'm really glad I had the opportunity. If there's any girls out there that want to be the next Scuba Queen USA, give me a call.
Are you banned from ever competing again because you've done it once?
Technically, I could do it again.
Uh-huh.
I've thought about it just for the chance to go back, but... I don't know. We'll see.
Not if Miss India is going to be there.
Yeah,
I know,
seriously.
Right?
We're going to dethrone that bitch.
No. We'll see. Life is interesting.
And it moves pretty fast. See.
It does move very mm-hmm. fast.
And that'll be the...
Especially in Hong Kong when the escalators are twice as fast as America.
That's fun, though.
Yeah. Oh, it was very
scary. It's efficient.
But anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you, guys.
It was much
be back.
Appreciated. Like I told you last night, I will speak on behalf of myself and Mike. You definitely are a class act, and we're very proud of everything that you have achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And yeah, I think we're good to go.
I'm out. Cool.
Yeah, I'm out. All right. This has been Life Moves Pretty Fast. I am BJ McEvely.
Mike Bissett.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Merry Christmas to you.